There is just so much and so much power in what God has created and what God has given us as a symbol. And I want to reiterate and say again, this is not a shrine. There's no power in this. In fact, it's probably not created in the way that the Bible said, because I think there's supposed to be a blue string here. But when we research in the Old Testament. But the fact is I'm a touch-feel person. And God has given us things like the Passover. He's given us things like this shawl that they were commanded to wear. It was a part of their garments. Now they made it a ritual prayer cloth or whatever. But it used to be just a part of everyone's clothing. They had those tassels on the bottom to remind them. And there is on here, and I'm just going to give some brief explanation, there's 613 laws in the Old Testament that God gave His people. And so there's 613, and I'm not going to take the time to count all of those. But that was to remind the Jews of the law of God and His commandments, that if we keep those, God's covering will be over us. God will bless. And the interesting thing about this and where this comes from, I'm just going to kind of take us from the Old Testament, and then I'm going to explain what it is and how this would be used so that we can visually see in the spiritual realm what God does for you and I. I've always asked God, you know, I'm a touch-feel person, but how come I can't feel you? I want to feel you. I want to give you a hug. I want to lean on your chest, just as John, the love that wrote the love books, did. I want to have that touch. And there's some very powerful things in this, and I'm going to show you in a minute that we can feel the touch of God in a visual way, in a symbolic way. Just as baptism, in the waters of baptism, we feel the water coming over us, getting wet, that symbolizes that our sins are being washed. The baptism doesn't wash our sins, but it's a tangible touch experience that God has given to us. And, you know, there's some prophecy that talk about the name of God, and I'm going to wait and get into that in a minute. But first of all, I want us, if you could turn in your Bibles to Mark 6, verse 56. Because I want you to see firsthand these words and how they translate. And one of the problems that we've had is in Gentile culture, we don't understand all the rituals of the Old Testament. In fact, there's a lot of churches today that say, oh, we don't need to follow the Old Testament. But Jesus said, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We need the Old Testament to understand what God does for us spiritually in our deliverance. And so Mark 6:56 says, and wherever He came, Jesus, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored them that they might touch even the fringe. And that word fringe in the Greek is kraspedon, and then you translate into Hebrew, it's tzitzi, which is this fringe, this talus on the prayer garment. And they implored that they might even touch Him, and as many as touched it were made well. And you know why? As just as I explained to the kids, Malachi 4:2, the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in His wings. These are the fringes of the garment, the wings. And it only makes sense when Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, appears on the planet that people would come and touch, as out of Him flows the power, as we're going to see in a moment when we look at the end of this message today, of the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus turns out and said, I felt power going out of me. It goes out of the wings, and we're going to explain biblically what that is. So, it's called a kraspedon. It's the extremity or the outer part or the margin of the garment. It's the appendage hanging down. It's like a tassel or a touch. It's a tuft. It's a border. And the Jews attach these in remembrance of the law. Now, I'd like you to turn now from the passage I just told you to Numbers in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. the book of Numbers, so that you could see when God commanded the children of Israel to make these taluses on their clothes. Numbers chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 37. Numbers 15, verse 37. Numbers 15. Everybody there? You find it? Okay, well, let's dust off the Old Testament now so we can learn more about Jesus the Messiah. So the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner." See, there it is. This is not following biblical scripture. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them and to follow after your own heart and not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which are inclined to whore after. So you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So they were commanded to wear these, put them on their garments. And it's been only in the last few years that they've discovered exactly what this blue color is. Now, this is probably not made out of... There's these shell-like oyster things, and it takes a whole lot of them just for a little bit of this blue-purple dye. This was used, and as we're going to see in a moment, in the making of the tabernacle, the first place where God's glory dwelled. And so that's where the Israelites get their flag from. And everybody see a Jerusalem flag, an Israel flag, has one blue stripe, and then the Star of David. It's in blue and white. That comes from the prayer shawl. It comes from the tent to the tabernacle of God. And they've discovered these little shell things recently, confirming, yes, this is the color. And this is the color that Jesus would have worn, that blue color on his border and on his fringe of his garments. Now, Deuteronomy 22:12 says, "You shall make for yourself tassels on the four corners of the garment and with which you cover yourself." Zechariah 8:23 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of the Jews, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" Huh. Remember, what is his name given to the Virgin Mary? Emmanuel, God with us. And think of all the people, God with us, took a hold of his garment. Gentiles, even. And there's going to be even a greater revelation of that in the coming days, where Gentiles will flock to Israel or flock to Jerusalem and recognize, yes, he is the one true God. And that's going to provoke the Jews to jealousy and bring many to Jesus Christ. That's just biblical prophecy. Isn't that awesome? Is that great? I mean, I just love this stuff. Going to Israel has put the see and touch factor into the Word of God for me. And I would encourage each and every one of you to start a savings, even if it's a dollar a day, to say, I need to go to Israel and see these places that I've been reading about my whole life. I think it would be important for everybody to do that. So start your savings now. Maybe in a few years we might be able to go again. In just a dollar a day, whatever. So, and we'll find a cheaper trip than what we went on. We've discovered some other things and shortcuts and things like that. So, but you got to go. Now, I want to do today is just illustrate for you so you could see how they would take the prayer shawl. They would take, the Jews would take this, and you're going to see how it relates to Scripture. And they, before they would put it on to pray, and of course they pray towards Jerusalem, which would be this way, and Jesus says the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and truth. There's not going to be a place, but they still do in mourning for the temple, and of course that's going to be built again, and then many Jews will return and turn to Jesus as their Messiah. So they would first inspect everything and make sure that there's no knots, there's no tanglements or anything like that before they would put it on. And I'm going to read what they would pray during that sermon. And it's Psalms 104. It says, "My soul, bless the Lord, my God. You are greatly exalted. You have garbed yourself with majesty and splendor. You enwrap yourself with light as with a garment. You spread the heaven as a curtain." So the heavens are God's prayer shawl. That's His garments. How many have ever seen the northern lights before, the aurora borealis? It's something to see. It looks like curtains. And perhaps maybe when the psalmist wrote this, this was what he was seeing in the sky. This is the garments of God. This is God's prayer shawl. So they would do that, and then before putting this thing on, they had a prayer that they would pray. And I'm going to attempt to say it in Hebrew. And don't make fun of me, because I'm just learning the pronunciation. They wouldn't even put it on before they would say this. And you're going to recognize this from the Passover ritual as well, the first part of it at least. They would say, "Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech halom asher kadeshenu b'mitzvata vitzvanu hetzdi ba'tzitzi." Basically, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to enwrap ourselves in the tzitzit," or in the prayer shawl. So then they would cover their heads, and then they would wrap it around like this. They would put this side up like this. I'm probably not going to do it right. I'm going to get all tangled up in it. Over the left shoulder. They're going to have a time on the CD on this. And then this goes over. So you're basically completely enveloped and wrapped, as it were, with the tent of God or the presence of God. That's what it symbolizes. And so when they put this on, they would say Psalms 36, 7 through 10. And remember I said I'm a touch and a feel kind of person. In Psalms 36, this is what they would say. "How precious is your kindness, O God. The children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They shall be satiated or satisfied with the delight of your house, and you will give them to drink from your river of your bliss. For with you is the source of light, and in your light we see light. Bestow your kindness upon those who know you, and your righteousness on the upright in heart." Now, you know, this feels like you're getting a hug from God, you know, since I'm a touch person. But to think about that, He enwraps Himself around us. That's when the psalmist says, "I've taken my refuge in you." That nothing can touch us or harm us. No evil can come our way if we choose to rest under God's tallit. Not this physical thing, but the little spiritual presence, the literal presence of God Almighty. And so after they would say that prayer, they would sometimes they would leave this on like this, and that serves like a horse blind so that there's no distractions. How many get distracted when you pray? All the time. This definitely helps because I can only see what's in front of me and I can't turn and do all this kind of stuff. So I will pray, and so it serves. And some people even believe when Jesus was referring to the prayer closet, because not a lot of people would have closets, He said when you go to pray, He was referring to this prayer shawl. Go in your closet. The Pharisees wanted to be seen by men who it was praying in the temple. So they would make sure people would notice. But you can't really tell when this thing is wrapped around you who's there praying. So basically go pray in a private place and put your focus 100% on God. Okay, so this whole ritual goes through. And he describes the power and the presence of God overshadowing us in our lives. So then they would take this down. And they would fold this corner back like this. And that's just to make it so it's not in the way when you're praying. So now it should, if I did it right, you should have the four corners, two in the front and two in the back. Now I'm going to show you really quickly
what the significance of these four corners. And it's tangled up. This is not kosher. On the end of these tassels, there's four knots. And there's also four corners. The name of God has four letters. YHVH. Yahovah. Yahweh. We pronounced it Yahweh, and recently they've discovered and have found manuscripts, because a lot of the manuscripts, they wouldn't write the name of God in. They would leave a dash. But they found some that did have, and I think they're now starting to believe, they found 1,000 references that his name would be pronounced Yahovah. So that is also fulfillment of biblical prophecy, that people will know his name once again. But his name on the four corners, you're not supposed to let these touch the ground, because it symbolizes God Almighty, Yahovah. So then they would pray, and probably how many have seen, and we're going to see next week, I have a short video and of the Western Wall where the Jews are praying now, mourning the loss of the temple. But when they pray, when they put their prayer shawls on, you notice, you say, well, this looks kind of weird. They stand there and go like this. Now, I've seen some of you move in funny ways when you're worshiping God. But you know why they do that? You ask any Jew and they'll say, because when I'm praying, I want to engage my mind, my heart, my body in prayer and alignment with the Spirit of God. So Jews look at things holistically. So they view their prayer and ritual. It's only been Gentiles and through Greek influence, Platonic dualism, that we separate body from spirit. So here's the encouragement. This is why holistic worship is good. It's good to shout and dance before the Lord and also have the God in our heart, because you worship Him and pray to Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the Jewish perspective. That's what the Bible teaches. We've only reduced it down to, well, I'm just going to worship God in my head. You know, God wants the whole thing. You're a whole person. You're a whole person. So that's why they would pray and do the rocking. And of course, to them, it's a ritual. But I can tell you, when you get in the presence of God and God's Spirit moves you, you just want to dance or you want to move, because your mind is engaging with the truth of the of what's being sung about God. Now, for those of you that are interested, I want to take you back to Exodus 38 to say, okay, we're talking about the presence of God here. How many like to stay in the presence? What we just experienced, you are awesome in this place. I could just linger there all day long. And I hope you can too, or want to too. But Exodus 38, that gives the commandments on how the tabernacle was to be built, and it gives references to the materials that are to be used. Exodus 36 in verse 8. It says, and the craftsmen among the worksmen made the tabernacle with 10 curtains. They made it of fine twilled linen. There's the white part, and then the blue and purple and scarlet yarns with cherubim skillfully worked. And then if you look down in verse 19, he talks about the leather part, the outer part of the tabernacle he made with a covering of ram skins and goat skins. And there's a lot of people that believe that when this tent was made, that the tent, the leather on the outside of the tent was dyed this blue. And then on the inside they had the white fine linens with the blue threads throughout, with cherubims with angels on it. And so that is where the tallit comes from. It's the commands of God. And I love Joshua when he goes into the tent of meeting. Turn over to back to chapter 33. And this gives an example of how we're supposed to dwell in God's presence. Because, you know, remember, in the Old Testament, where did God dwell? Anybody know? Yeah, above the tabernacle, above the Ark of the Covenant.
And Jesus says the day is coming when it's not going to be a place. Where does he dwell now? In the hearts of men. Inside of us. But somehow we still get out from under his tent. Even though he's inside of us, we forget about him. The Bible calls that resisting the Spirit or putting out the fire of the Spirit. And so Exodus 33:7. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And you know, only the priest could go into that most holy place. So when they would go in, when Moses would go in, they would lift, the men would stand on the outside and put that thing over their heads, symbolically that they were going in too, into the presence of God. And so, I love this. Whenever Moses went out, verse 8, to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses, and when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Joshua says, I want to stay there. You are awesome in this place. I want to stay in the presence of God. You say, Pastor Mike, why are you talking about this? Because I want us to understand, I want myself to understand that there is a difference between praying, recognizing the presence of God, and praying outside of the presence of God. There's a difference in our hearts. Because Psalms 90, as we're about to look at, Psalms 91, says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High was going to be protected. It says, but those that know his name and those that love him, those that recognize his shelter are the ones that are protected. And so I know as believers, the Holy Spirit dwells in us permanently, but there is a way to live resisting the Spirit of God and in alignment with the Spirit of God. There's a way to live that God is present, you know, and it's like marriages. There might be marriages that fall apart because the wife and husband live in the same house, but they're apart. I mean, I've heard of several couples that sleep in different rooms. They just stay together because they think they're supposed to, but they're not really together. They don't even recognize each other's presence, but they're there. So that would be like me coming into the house, and sometimes men, we do this. We get on our busy agendas and don't even recognize the wife. Oh, that's a horrible thing to do. It was a horrible thing to do. We do this with God. He's there, but we don't recognize him. That's why that strong verse we just read, it says that we're so quick to go whoring after other things. In other words, we go and prostitute ourselves with things of the world so quickly, and we forget that God is with us. His presence is with us. That we forget to be holy. And we know we're not holy because we try to obey the commands of God. We're holy because Jesus fulfilled the commands of God, and he gives us the ability and power to obey those commands. And so we could add in our ritual, because you have sanctified us with your commandments through Jesus the Messiah. Because we know the end of the story. The Jews don't recognize that yet. So it's important to understand that we're praying and that we are under his wings. Now, I would like you to turn now, because we're setting this up and we're moving towards the New Testament now, in Psalms. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms. We all love the Psalms, and a lot of these are prophecies and have to do with this. And please bear with me as we get to the points. I feel like you need to know all this stuff to set it up. Psalms 104. This is part of that ritual that I just read when they would, before they'd put the cloak over their head. Psalms 104, 1 and 2. If you have the ESV Bible, read it with me.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. That is a picture of God's prayer shawl. And you know, because He's over all the universe, He is over us in that way. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews, it says the Son is the exact radiance of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment and the presence and the glory of God that would dwell about us if we would recognize His presence. Psalm 61, turn back to Psalm 61. It says, "Hear my cry, O Lord. Listen to my prayer from the end of the earth. I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, I've heard my vows, and I've given the heritage of those who fear my name." So I like that. That puts the two phrases together about God having healing in His wings and taking refuge under His tent. So why am I teaching this? It's to see that you can see visually the Scriptures, what God has given us and what He's commanded the Israelites. See, there was a reason why God had them do all these things. Because they needed help remembering God. And in the New Testament, He said, we're even more blessed because we have the Spirit of God to remind us and to move us to obey God's commandments. But you know, we also still need these visuals. And we've replaced these visuals with pagan holidays and things like that. But if we look at the Word of God, what God's Word teaches, we get a clear picture of who He is. You don't have to turn there, but in Psalms 32:7, I just want to read. He says, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." If you are in trouble, it's okay to shout. That's part of what releases the heavy burden and the yoke. So if you're falling asleep right now, shout to the Lord. Or shout to the Lord and wake your neighbor up today. He surrounds me with shouts of deliverance. I'm delivered. He covers me with His feathers. He covers me with His wings. Huh! You know, let it out. See? In your prayer life, it is okay. There are times when we are so emotionally frustrated, right? Are things always going good for you at school? No, and they're not good over there either, Ethan. Maybe that's times when we can cry out to God like David did. God, help me! It's not, God, help me. We try to make our prayers all proper in English. Thou knowest, Lord, that I... Right? No! If our hearts engage with God, that He's a real person, that He is alive, and the Bible says that He is, and archaeology shows that He is, everything that we see in history shows that He is, we would have a little bit more engagement when we get ourselves into trouble. God, help! Or when I'm getting discouraged and down, I could say, praise the Lord! Anyways. Hallelujah! Anyways. You know, that's how African-American worship started. You might say, why did they shout a lot? Because they were slaves, and the only freedom they had is when they'd gather in the middle of the night and worship God, and they would shout and praise, and that was their glory, that was their ecstasy, that was their release in the presence of God, because He is real. I think that as Americans, we walk around and we go to church like God isn't real, that He's just a fairy tale in the sky. I've lived a lot of my Christian life as if God, this is the thing I have to believe and this is just part of my life. But is He really real to us?
It would change our lives. Is he real? Is it just fairy tale? Is it just something that I do because my parents raised me to go to church? Is God real? Is he really my shelter and protection? Oh, the Word of God says that he is. Now, I want to invite you now to turn to Psalms, because this is where it's going to get really real. Psalm 91, and we looked at this on Wednesday night. Psalms 91, and I would encourage you to pray this and recite this prayer as much as you can. But there are a few things that we should be doing to stay under God's tallit, to stay under his tent. He says in verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So first of all, we have to dwell there. We have to pitch our tent there. So if you're not in God's presence, pull up your tent stakes and say, go pitch your tent in God's presence. In other words, recognize that God is there. He says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress. He says, my fortress, not Grandma Connie's fortress. And I'm going to get in trouble for calling her grandma. Not Pastor Mike's fortress, my fortress. To dwell in the presence of the Almighty is recognizing that he is your shadow. Maybe take a moment and say, my refuge to yourself. He's my refuge. He's my refuge. He's my shelter. He's my tent. And we must recognize and believe that he covers us, because in verse 4 he says, he will cover you with his pinions, and that's the other Hebrew word, kanaf, for this prayer shawl. He will cover you, and under his wings you will find refuge, and his faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in dark, nor the destruction that wastes in noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 here I am, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. So what's happening around you at school or in your family right now? A lot of tough stuff, probably, if you're living in this old world. Probably a lot of things that are not so fun. But it says, if you stay in God's tent under his tallit, nothing will touch you. Will you get hurt? Possibly. Will you go through struggles? Yes. But it says that you will not be harmed. In other words, you will not be debilitated to the point that you can't live like God intended you to live in his presence. Will you get sick? Maybe. But you're under his refuge, remember? And when we live there and dwell there, and one of the things that God taught me on this trip is that I started to complain because I got sick when I was in Israel. And I had a bad attitude because it hurt. Everything hurt. My body hurt. And my get up and go has gone out and went. And we're getting up early in the morning and going on these hikes everywhere. And you know what the Lord showed me when I got back is that my faith is weak. I was looking at my circumstances, not looking at what God was doing in my life. I was looking at what's around me, not what God was doing. See, I wasn't dwelling in God's tallit. I was living in Michael's tallit of despair. I was living in Michael's tallit of depression. Michael's tallit of whiny baby, American whiny baby. I'm experiencing a little bit of pain here. Oh my. See, we're protected and live in his power if God has made our lungs. He says, because you've made, in verse 9. And then he talks about his angels. And then go down to verse 14. He says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Why? Because he knows my name. And we're studying the names of God on Wednesday. And the first one that's mentioned in this passage is El Elyon, which is Most High God. That's the God who sits above our situation and has the power to overrule what our situation has dictated. He has the final say. So, you're going through a tough circumstance, right? It could be caused by other people. It could have been caused by your own sin. But God has the final say in this. God had the final say when I got sick in Israel, because He was trying to teach me something. He's El Elyon. If we hold fast to this God who shelters us, if we recognize His name, He's not only that. In this passage, He talks about God Almighty, which is El Shaddai. He's the one who nourishes us while we're going through the trial. And He's Yahweh, or Yehovah, the existing one, the one true God. And He's Adonai, the one who rules in power. So we have to rely on Him in prayer. And we know He is with us in our trouble. And we know He desires to rescue. And that's how David ends the song. He says, when He calls to me, I will answer Him. It's God speaking. I will be with Him in trouble. And I will recognize Him and honor Him with long life. I will satisfy Him. Do you believe that God will do that for you? Are you dwelling under His wings, under His shelter? Now, one last passage today, and I'm going to let you go. But I pray that you will go home and take Psalms 91 and read it over and over and pray it, put it into your words, and say, God, teach me how to dwell under your tallit, your tent, your prayer covering, your wings. Luke 8. So turn your Bibles to Luke 8, verse 42. At the end of verse 42, it says, Jesus went, and the people pressed around Him. So there was a big crowd. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind Him and touched the fringe of His garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? For all denied it. Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you. The disciples said, Jesus, this is ridiculous. Everybody is pressing on you. Have you ever been in a big crowd? I don't like big crowds like this. I start to freak out when people press in around. Let alone what I know who came and touched. Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched Him and how she had been immediately healed. See, it's important to understand that while we're praying, we are under His wings. But it's also important to understand that God is touchable. He's grabbable. He is God with us. He made His dwelling among us. So that this woman that had this illness could come up and be healed. And Jesus knew that power went out of Him. And that's part of the word for this. If we look in the Hebrew, the tzitzi is like, it's like a flower, like blooming like a flower. In other words, He radiates with power and glory. That's how His power went out of Him. And the Son of Man rises with healing in His wings over our life. So I want to encourage you, the tassels that can be grabbed means that God came down from heaven to be grabbable. And then Jesus looks at the Israelites who rejected Him as Messiah, the Jewish people, and He said, oh, I would have loved to gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, but you would not have it. How many times has Jesus said that to you? To me, Michael. I've longed to gather you and put you under my tent of protection, but you persist on doing things your own way. You persist on going to other people and things for for protection instead of dwelling in my presence. People of Christ Community Church, we have to dwell in God's presence. And I think this is why we're not very excited and hungry as American Christians and the church in general for prayer and coming together to seek the Lord's face, is because we just don't know how great it is. I want to leave you with this: taste and see that the Lord is good. Look what God can do in our church if we come before the presence of God under His covering together. Not just the pastor, not just a select few people, all the priests of God. What would happen at Christ Community Church if we all came together under the tallit, the presence of God, and sought His face together and became hungry? If you're not hungry for God, start praying for hunger. I'm not that hungry for God, or I haven't been in the past. But start praying for a hunger for God. Because I want to see souls saved this year. I want to see the kingdom of God go forth. But it can only happen if we rely on Him and put ourselves under His shelter. It can only happen when we start to go past the gates of praise that we sang about this morning. That's the outer part of the temple courts. And we go into the Holy of Holies where God dwells. Lord, You know my heart and each of our hearts. And Lord, we come before You and we repent of our laziness, our lethargy, and just of all those things that hold us back. God, I pray for a fresh fire and a fresh touch of Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, for myself and all my dear brothers and sisters here, that You'd bring us together under Your shelter, under Your tent, relying on You and Your goodness and Your refuge. Oh, Jesus, say and speak to our hearts what I could not say because of my humanness. Say and speak to our hearts what I could not communicate because of my own sinfulness. Holy Spirit, we invite You to come. We invite You to move among us. Oh, Jesus, we long to be in Your presence. Teach us what it's like to be in Your presence. Teach us what it's like to grab a hold of the tassel of Your garment. Oh, Lord, You radiate. Jesus, You radiate with all the glory and the exact representation of God Almighty. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, give us a hunger. Give us a passion for You. Thank You, Lord.